Hello, this is singer-songwriter Colette O'Connor from Boston, Massachusetts. Who is the David Bowers, anyway? I think the world needs to know. In the meantime, you are listening to the David Bowers Awards.
And now, around the world and around the corner, it's the David Bowers Awards, bringing the best in indie music to millions of listeners worldwide with your host, the David Bowers. We've got a fantastic lineup of guests, our entire crew here at the Asylum, and me. I'm John Bon Jovial. And now, here's the voice of indie music, the David Bowers.
Well, thank you very much there, the legendary John Bon Jovial, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you folks for joining us as well. We've got a full show again this week, and our first track is another previous The David Bowers Awards winner, back with a brand new release just out. You're going to be among the first to hear it. Our friends from over across the pond in the UK, Wild Horse. And here they are with their brand new tune, Read My Mind. The Vibes song from Wild Horse, all the way from England, kicking off 2025 with their first release of the year. Also their first release with their new four-piece lineup. It was written by their frontman, Jack Baldwin. And we've spoken with Jack several times on the show. Maybe we'll be getting him back a little bit later this year, too. They also used renowned producer Gary Stevenson, who is responsible for the sound you just heard. And they're one of the many artists that we've had on at the beginning of their careers and had the fun and privilege of watching them grow and mature in the music industry. And they're really carving out a niche for themselves.
But these guys, I can't believe it. They keep getting better and better and better. And I don't know how much better they can get, but I know they will, because this is right up there. This has got so much commercial potential and commercial value to it. They have got a hit. And I mean, they have got a big hit on their hands. And they had the potential for making a truckload of cash with this song.
Oh, yeah. And I think the key, well, there's really two keys. One, they love what they're doing. And two, they work doing it right. And as long as they have those two qualities, they're going to go far. And we're going to be listening to Wild Horse for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
Now, we definitely got to get them back on the show again in the near future here. Hey, we want to say hello to our friends back in Rochester, New York. Thanks, and hello to Steve Litvak, the Baron, at WRFZ FM 106.3, our flagship FM station. His Rock and Roll Rumble follows the David Bowers Awards on Rochester Free Radio every Saturday. And he is followed in turn by a couple of hours of Armin Spins with Armin Schaubrock, a local legend in the Rochester area. On WRFZ FM 106.3 in Rochester, New York, if you're not close enough to pick them up on the airwaves, hop online and get them at rochesterfreeradio.com. We're going to get right down to it and bring on our first guest. This is a guy who goes by the name of BKWH. Here is BKWH with All My Love.
Thank you.
All My Love. He goes by the name BKWH, and you can call him Beckwith. We're going to do just that right now. Beckwith, come on in and say hello.
Hey, everyone. Hi, Dave.
How you doing? How are things in merry old England?
Yeah, not too bad. We had a sunny day today. Cold, but sunny. It was about 14 degrees. I don't know what that is in Fahrenheit.
I don't know the conversion table either.
I'm going to Florida in a week's time. And I keep on looking at, like, the temperature, and it keeps on saying, like, 88, 85. Yeah. And obviously, I have no idea what that means.
It's a lot warmer than what you're experiencing.
Right.
Back with, first thing I want to do is I want you to tell us about the tune we just played. Tell us about All My Love.
Okay, so All My Love featured on the original album. I wrote and produced it. It was a tribute to the soul that I listened to growing up, New Edition. If It Isn't Love is a good basis for that song. There's a few ad-libs I wanted to pay tribute to Ralph Tresvant and Bobby Brown in it. We needed a single for the remix album, and there is a radio show in Japan called The Night, and it's a very popular R&B station and show for the whole of, well, globally, it's important. And R&B Source, who is one of the producers on the radio show, was doing a special show on the producer Initial Talk. And I love Initial Talk. He has remixed Dua Lipa, Kylie Minogue. He's like a genuine big deal A-list producer. And I reached out to him and I just said, look, you know, we need a single. We need a lead off. We'd be honored if you got involved and if you wanted to be involved. I don't know what your schedule's like because, you know, those A-list producers, they have a lot of work. And he was on board. He loved the original and he said, I think I can do something with it. Give me a month. I think that was in December. And he turned around in January. We submitted it to the label. They gave me the thumbs up. And I think we're really happy with the way it came out.
Well, I'll tell you, from what we heard on this end, you got the job done and he did a good job, as did you as well. The next question I've got to ask you is, where did the name BKWH come from?
Okay, so I'll try and summarize it quickly. So when I was a young man, I signed to a record label that took my legal name. I kind of signed those rights away. So when I was dropped from that label, I had to reinvent an artist name. So I used the name of the street that I grew up in England. So I grew up in a place called Yarm, and the road I grew up on was called Beckwith Road. And I was always known from being from that road. So if people would see me, they'd be like, oh, that's the Beckwith boy, or that's the kid from Beckwith. So I was like, okay, I'll use that. And then synonymously for my album, we just wanted something that changed the name but gave it a fresh outlook. So we went with BKWH.
In line with that story, we did something similar with our co-host here, John. I can't imagine where we got it from, but somewhere along the line, he became John Bon Jovial. And John, why don't you come on in and join us?
Yeah. And we keep waiting for the cease and desist letter, too. Well, Beckwith, welcome. It's great to have you on the show. I'm very impressed with All My Love. That is some slick stuff you put together there. You've got kind of a 70s funkadelic thing going. I'm not a big fan of autotune, but if it's used properly, it can be a tool and not a replacement. And I think that you've really done a nice job with that. And it seems to me also you got kind of a little bit of a DeBarge vibe going with the vocals. And very nice.
That just made my evening. So I'm such a fan of DeBarge. And I'm talking every member. So like El DeBarge, James DeBarge, Tommy DeBarge, all like every single member of the DeBarge family, Bunny DeBarge, Bobby DeBarge. Honestly, I'm a huge fan of theirs. About two Christmases ago, I had what we called a DeBarge Christmas, where I got Tommy DeBarge's book. I got the new DeBarge Greatest Hits.
All right.
So I think you've picked up kind of what we're trying to put out, right? Which is that 80s kind of soul. I wish I sounded as good as El DeBarge. I mean, he, again, absolute hero of mine. Incredible songwriter, His vocals, even though he's a slightly older gentleman than myself, his vocals are still incredible. Like, again, top tier, top level vocalist.
Well, there's a sweetness to his vocal, and you've managed to capture that. And
thank you.
Yeah, and so I really commend you for it. But I hear the influences, and you've managed to be able to take those influences and put something original together.
Absolutely.
That DeBarge never did. That George Clinton and Funkadelic, they never did that the way you're doing it. But it's, to me, I can hear the influence. I can hear the roots.
You picking up El DeBarge is great. That's the first time I think somebody said that, and I appreciate it. I usually get like Ralph Tresvant from New Edition. I think our tones are very similar. Ray J. Brandy's brother as well. I have a similar tone. I think we all sing in D and F, so we all have similar ranges. So, yeah, thank you.
We don't very often get somebody on that does something original, yet pays homage to their musical heroes, and pulls it off with a sound that is really commercial. And so I think you've got a vibe going here that can make you a few bucks, I think.
Yeah, I mean, that'd be nice. No, I appreciate that. But I think paying homage to my heroes, it's a big deal to me. Because groups like Boyz II Men, New Edition, those guys, the guys who opened the doors, you know, for groups like, say, New Kids on the Block. And then it allows kind of pop R&B artists like myself to kind of walk through with a little bit of credibility as well. So a huge honor of mine was I got the cover of Blues and Soul magazine, which I considered the Bible on R&B and soul. And when I did, I made sure that the photo shoot, I wore a Boyz II Men t-shirt. So I wanted to pay my respects, you know, sure, to say, look, I probably wouldn't be doing this if it wasn't for these guys.
Yeah, that's a little bit of what we're doing too. When we got together to create this show, we kind of looked at it as a pay it back, pay it forward type of thing. We're paying back the artist whose music we played to raise our families, and pay it forward to the new and emerging artists and give them one more stage to present themselves and start their career on. So it was kind of a dual fold homage of our own there. I wanted also, since we're talking about you, tell us a little bit about your background, who you are, where you came from, how you became who you are today, other than the change of name, of course.
Okay, so my background is I was born in Scotland, so I consider myself a Scotsman, but I was raised in England. I've had the privilege to have experienced a lot of the world through my dad's occupation, so I was very well traveled as a young guy. And I think the reason I gravitated to music so much is it was one of the few constants that I had. So you can live in America, you can live in Ireland, you can live in Holland, but the music stays the same if you have access to it. So, right. You know, my parents always spoiled me with music. So whatever cassette, CD I wanted, they always provided it for me because they could see that my future probably was going to be in music. So like Babyface, for example. I had Babyface albums from the time I was 8 years old. And if you're put in a new environment, you're listening to that same voice all over the world. So I was well-traveled. I grew up my teenage formative years in a place called Teesside, or Yarmouth Teesside. And when I was 17, I got to London to go to university. I went to Buckinghamshire. And after that, I met my best buddy, Marvin Ambrosius. We got signed. We wrote an album. And through that musical journey of peaks and troughs, you know, I got a top 100 Billboard song, and then I got a deal dragged away from me. And then I've kind of risen again to have two UK top 40 singles and a top 40 album. So that's kind of where I found myself.
It's interesting, and it's most interesting to me the early influence your parents had by exposing you. They didn't shield you from going in the direction you wanted to go, but at the same time, they didn't push you. They just let you evolve in that direction, and that's I think that's the healthiest, the best way. I love it when a when parents take an interest in letting their child develop into who he or she is going to be. John, did you want to jump back in here?
You've talked about a lot of music that's based in the 80s and 90s, but what about going back even further? Have you gotten into bands like Sly and the Family Stone, for example, or Tower Power, Enya Raven and 10 Wheel Drive? And these are all bands out of the, you know, the 60s and early 70s that really kind of laid a lot of groundwork for the funk that you hear coming out of that era now.
I think I trace my personal roots more to doo-wop. So I think if you look like the Moonglows, the Flamingos, the Five Satins.
Yeah, great stuff.
And then you kind of go to like the Temptations. And when I talk about Temptations, I mean like Otis Williams, like when he started the Temptations. I think they were Otis Williams in the distance. I agree. Obviously, I love the funk. I love hip hop. I love, you know, that kind of 70s sound. If I was to look to the 70s, I'd probably look at the sound of Philadelphia International, Teddy Pendergrass. I love the singer-songwriters of that era, Bill Withers. Watching that Rodriguez movie, I don't know if you saw that, Searching for Sugar Man. That was phenomenal. So I think from a 70s standpoint, I think what I pull most from there is songwriting. I think some of the greatest ever songs were written in the 70s.
Was a good era, yeah.
Singer-songwriter. Yeah, incredible. But vocally, musically, I think I'm an old doo-wop singer at heart. I think if I could have been in one of those groups, if they let me sing second tenor in the Flamingos.
I had a lot of background in that era because that was my original era when I got into music. And one of our original guests on the show was the Mystics from that era. And I know George and his lady have been good friends of mine since we met them in Florida. They're still on the road, still performing, and still selling out halls all over the place, which is really something special. And we look forward to the fact that you could very well be doing the same thing because your star is on the rise. You obviously got a long way to go yet in your career. And we're hoping that now that you're part of our family, we'll keep in touch and get to take that ride with you. One of the things we love the most about this is being able to watch the artists that have been on our show mature and grow in the music business. Before we let you go, I always like to let our guests tell the listeners how they can follow you, contact you, and of course, most importantly, how they can get your music.
Okay, thank you. So you can find me anywhere on digital platforms under BKWH. From socials, I get criticized a lot because I'm pretty rubbish on socials, but I do check my messages once in a while. So if you want to catch me at Beckwith_BKWH, you can find me there. I'm on Twitter @BeckwithJP. If you haven't come across my music yet, I'm sure you can find it pretty easily. Obviously on iTunes as well. iTunes are a massive part of my career.
And knowing how to work the algorithms is very important. I might also suggest, if I may, don't shy away from that internet just because you're not familiar or comfortable with it, because a great way to build your audience is to communicate with them, interact with them. You get a chance, drop in with comments or whatever anytime you get the bug. Don't worry about doing it right or wrong. My advice would be just do it, okay?
Absolutely. I'll follow your advice.
Want to have you tell us about this next track. Now, I notice there's a little bit of a backstory with this one, and again, a little bit of an homage on your part. Tell us about Can't Beat the Weekend.
Okay. My first two singles, which charted nationally in the UK, You're That Kind of Girl and Be There, although they were huge pop hits, on the R&B charts, they kept on placing at number two. And The Weeknd held on, the artist The Weeknd, had the number one song, Blinded by the Lights. He was number one for nearly, I think it was like 450 days. Mm-hmm. So I'd had two singles out within a three-month period and couldn't knock him off number one. And a good friend of mine, and probably one of the best R&B producers in the business right now, DJ Soulchild, he wrote a comment under one of my posts where he said, you still can't beat The Weeknd. And don't ask me how my process for writing songs happens or occurs, but within 20 minutes, I'd written a song called Can't Beat The Weeknd, which was purely about how I can't beat The Weeknd in the charts.
Love it.
But I wanted to. Yeah. So it works on two levels, right? Because I think if you don't know that backstory, the song works as a really good weekend anthem.
Right.
So usually when I describe that to people, they're like, oh, I just thought it was about going out on a weekend and spending my money and dancing. I'm like, no, listen, music's subjective. I think when you put music out, people can take it however they want to.
True.
But yeah, the real reason behind the song is I just couldn't beat the weekend in the charts. But I also wanted to make a great weekend. I mean, essentially, again, a third angle on the song is kind of how a musician would release a song. So that first verse is all about the build-up to a single campaign, what happens when it's released. So, yeah, that's the backstory. It's not a shot at the Weeknd, though. I was reading a review which said that I was trying to take aim at him, and I'm not. I really respect him.
No, but I think it's kind of funny that in your own way, unintentionally as it may have been, in your own way, you did come out beating him in the end.
In the end, it got to number one. Yeah, it was actually the song that knocked him off his 450-day run. So, yeah, there was a little bit of magic at the end.
Ladies and gentlemen, Beckwith, he goes by BKWH. If you're looking him up online, be sure and add his music to your streaming playlist. And it's got some good stuff. Listen to it. You'll love it. Thank you so much for being here with us this week. And keep in touch. We look forward to hearing from you and having you come back and tell us what's going on down the road.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for your time. Thank you.
You're very welcome. And ladies and gentlemen, here is Beckwith with Can't Beat the Weeknd. Weeknd. No, you can't. Weekends, you can always look forward to a weekend, don't you think, John Bon Jovial?
Yes, indeed. The Weeknd with a little bit of a kind of a 70s disco flair to it, and that pseudo-soulful sound of the early 80s. It's a nice blending and nice production, too.
Yeah, nice mix there, and I'm really glad we were able to get him to come and spend some time with us, talk about his music, and that we were able to share a couple of tracks with you. And as we say always, if you like the music, add it to your streaming playlist, and of course, got to go out and buy the music from the artist. Don't forget that. Very important, especially in this day and age, because they're not going to live off of what they make getting paid for streaming. It just ain't going to happen in our lifetime, I don't think. John Bon Jovial, what did you think of Paul's, our BKWH's music?
I like it. I mean, the production values, you know, of course, you know, I'd look at production values probably before I look at anything else. And it's so clean and so smooth. I generally do like it. My one beef, if you even want to call it that, is the use of auto-tune. I am not a huge fan of it, as you all know, if you've listened to this show for a while. But the thing is, he's not blatant with it. And he actually puts it to good use to maybe enhance a voice that's already pretty good. Then there's the other school of thought. What do we need auto-tune for if you've got talent, right?
Right.
But there can be ways to use it that can actually really help the song out that's already got something really good going for it, a really great lead singer. And I think that he might have been able to accomplish that this time with these two particular songs.
I agree. I agree entirely. Speaking of accomplishing something with a couple of songs, our next guest has done just that on several occasions, and you're going to hear one more right now because we're going to give you a sneak preview of some stuff that's coming up. We're going to give you a preview of a coming album that'll be yours in a few months. We'll talk more about that shortly. And also a release, a new single release from the album that'll be around a lot sooner. That should be around in the next couple of days or so. So let's talk with Paul Neurigut. Paul from Portland, and find out what's going on. Let's start with the title of his forthcoming album. Here's Paul Neurigut with Curious Directions.
Curious Directions. Tasting life as it served up. Thankful for the cool drinks poured into my tarnished cup. More than expected, sometimes more than deserved. Certain memories protected, lonely and slightly curved. Dancing with new friends. Each one's a part of you, who we spent some time with, and what we each went through. Dancing with new friends, tunes sounding sweet, all kinds of rhythms playing, bodies, hands, and feet. Curious directions. Better for that time. Open old friends are good. Far from our lives now, curious direction, better for that time, hoping old friends are good, so damn far down the line.
Curious directions, Mr. Paul Nerget. Come on in here, Paul. It's been a while. Say hello.
Thank you. How are you guys?
Doing very well, thank you, and so glad you're back with us again. How are things been going for you?
Absolutely wonderful. It's that cold and rainy season up in Portland, Oregon, but if you don't like it, you move somewhere else like Florida or Michigan or Arizona. You know, that's where the real famous people go.
And if I'm not mistaken, correct me if I'm wrong here, but if I'm not mistaken, rainy, it just goes with the territory. The difference is whether it's cold, rainy, warm, rainy, or like that.
That's right. That's right.
Well, listen, speaking of differences, you got a curious one in the title of this album that's coming forth. We just heard the title tune from. Where did you come up with the title Curious Directions?
It was about this concept for the whole album, which is the various paths in life that we either choose or that are chosen for us. Sometimes it's circumstantial, situational, or sometimes it's a decision we all make. And I wanted an album that encompassed all of that. And so that was the reality. So Curious Directions was, I find it fascinating to think back to my 15-year-old to 25-year-old self and all the really great people I met that were part of my life. But we were like bouncing off walls back then, and everything was new and fascinating. And, you know, it was all, in my case, it was about dancing, a little bit of drinking, and it was just going in 100 different directions. And then, interestingly, people were gone. You know, they just disappeared. They went in all these curious directions, right. And yeah. Looking back or bumping into somebody years later, you find out the paths they took, right, wrong, or indifferent. And to me, I find it curious and interesting, and that's the spirit of the whole album and the song you just heard.
And it sounds like a good premise for a book, too. If you, you know, later on you get the desire to write, I think you've got a good working title right there that could be really an interesting storyline. Definitely John Bon Jovial. Come on in here and join the conversation.
Well, hey, Paul. Welcome
Hi,
back.
Hi, John. Thank you.
This song, Curious Directions, I think of all the music that I've heard you do. Now, granted, I have not heard your entire catalog. I think this is the best thing that I've ever heard you do. I mean, it's really excellent. I mean, it's got a good storyline. Your instrumentation is spot on. Your production values are spot on with it. It's a damn good song. I don't know that this would have commercial potential on a so-called soft AC or contemporary radio station, but I'd be willing to bet that there's probably some alternative music stations out there that would play this song and get some really good feedback from it.
That's great to know. Thank you, John. I appreciate your kind words, and I'm glad it resonates with you. I am blessed with a really great producer. I'm blessed with an amazing electric guitarist in Milan, Italy, of all places, that I curate. You know, every song that I write, I then step back and think about what's the vibe I want. And then I surround myself with people that are talented, more talented than me musically, and they add their respective parts, and then I'm singing into it. And so it's a lot of fun.
Let's drop a couple of names there. Tell us the producer, the instrumentalist you work with.
Yes, thank you. So the producer in Portland, Oregon is a fella by the name of Adam Selzer. And I originally went to him years ago for my third album to just ask if he would mix it. Well, he would, and he did. And then he said to me afterwards, as a good business person, he says, I think I can help you more, and I hope you'll give me an opportunity to help you more. And so ever since then, three albums later, my decision is he and I co-create. He is a kind of like a sounding board for me in terms of creating the song, melody, etc. And then the balance of half of the album, I take outside and I do it on my own without him because I want a diversity of minds at the table. So that's Adam Selzer. He's a great engineer, meaning he can master the music, getting it ready for you, which is what you're hearing. And then the third thing he's an outstanding multi-instrumentalist.
Oh,
so that
wow.
He and I sitting down together, we've actually developed a relationship where we're building a catalog purely for licensing to other musicians and to the commercial space.
It sounds like you have a long ongoing relationship built there. And hey, to have a producer that you're that familiar with where you can feel each other's moves.
Yes.
And your music, you create your own music, and you don't really have to worry about the vibe. You go in and you create your song, and it creates the vibe rather than you trying to structure one for it. So I think that's a great combination. Who is this Italian artist you were talking about?
So his name is Mikhail Calcavale, and he is just an amazing instrumentalist. And he is somebody that for a specific vibe, I will call on him. So he is, for example, plays on three of the 15 originals on the new album that's coming out in the fall. Every one of them, I just love. I just love what he does. He's really great blues rock. I asked him to stretch for a song. I look forward to playing for you guys someday because I really wanted him on a country rock song. And
oh, wow.
He actually did a wonderful job. Yeah. So anyway, that's Mikhail. And then also Anna B is what she goes by. She has her own professional name for her music, but she agrees. She's like Mikhail. She is singing backing vocals on much of my music. Well, Curious Directions is Anna B. And I'll share with you a bit later, but Anna B is this professional backing vocalist, but she also has her own professional music career. So she has a stage name when she does it with me. So she doesn't get commingled, so to speak, with her persona.
Sure.
And then I have a different backing singer on the song that we're going to listen to next.
And we'll be talking about that shortly. Now, one of the questions I like to ask our guest is what you have pending.
The album is, thank you for asking me, the album is completed and completely mastered.
Oh, wow.
And then
okay.
One of the things that we chatted about recently was that some of the counsel I've gotten is don't just dump this album. If there's too many songs, don't just dump it on the world. They won't be able to ingest it.
Mm-hmm.
Send them out songs without teasing people, but give them songs to get them aware of the album. So build awareness, which is so hard, as you know, these days, and why I'm so thankful of being on your wonderful program with the great job you guys do. And so the idea of releasing some singles in the months ahead, I'll release a couple more singles, David, and then I'll roll out the album presumably early October. I will dump it on the world.
You're looking at sometime probably in October.
Yeah, and so it's ready now. It's just a matter of just pushing. It's literally telling the distributor when I want it released, and then they'll put it into all the streaming stores and so on.
And how many?
So the other thing, though, to answer your question is part of producing anything or distributing anything is you have to make people aware of it. And again, I'm thankful for you helping me to do that in your respective universe. But I've got to do a better job at that. I'm thrilled to have the listeners that I have, but I need to be better at communicating that. And so I'm hoping to, frankly, share my stuff with radio, something John mentioned. And I have never approached a radio station other than you guys. And so I want to share my music with radio. I'm not worried about the commercial impact. I want people to hear my music. I want to touch people's lives. And it's not about the money. And so I need to do things like that so that when the album does drop, it's not a surprise.
One of the biggest things that artists overlook is these people in radio, whether they're the jocks, the program directors, whoever it is you contact, they are people, and they're going to remember you a lot more strongly, if you can relate with them and they can relate with you. Build a relationship with the people. Go around, make your, you know, the necessary contacts that you need to make, mm-hmm. but get back to them, keep in touch with them, build a relationship, and I think you'll find, one, you're going to find they're going to remember you, and when they do, they are more likely to get on board with what you're selling.
Yes.
And
yes.
Two, you may very well open up a lot of doors that you weren't really thinking of, because these people live in the business and they know people in the business. And if they get a bug that, hey, this Paul from Portland, this is some stuff he's got, they're going to spread the word.
Yeah. Thank you. Good counsel.
I really was amazed when I got to that part of my career where I was mixing with artists and they were talking about this radio station and that radio station. And, you know, a lot of them would ask me, well, what can I do to get played? Well, the biggest thing you can do is build a relationship with the program director or whoever your contact is at these stations and follow up on it. Drop them a card for no reason at all, or mm-hmm. email them just to say, hi, how are you? I think you'd be really pleased with the results over time. What do you think, John?
Well, I was going to say, I agree. Yes, I've got a couple of suggestions here that I did a little bit of research on, Paul. So if I can, you know, text it over or email it to you later.
Well, thank you. There's a couple big ones on my radar screen. One I've been on is Shady Pines Radio. They're doing a really nice job. They've got lots of different programs within and respective hosts. So I thank you, and also for the approach, David, that you've suggested, and that touch that we all know is so important in this, you know, this age of impersonal contacts.
As you just alluded, it's getting more so, and that begs the effort to do something about it, to actually get to know people. And that's something that we have found just doing our humble little show here. You've obviously got this album in the can already. So that really changes my perspective of your upcoming few months here. It looks like you do have some spare time. What are you going to be doing? You're going to do any personal appearances? You're going to be working on future material or what?
Yeah, I will. I feel like I'm always working on future materials. I was riding an exercise bike today. I did two songs on the bike, half of the songs, you know, got them started, ideas in my head. This weekend, I'm going to be in Phoenix, your neck of the woods. And I'm going down, and I've got a buddy, and he always says, bring your guitar. I want you to play. I'm going to bring some people together. And so I'll do that. The following week, I'll be back in Portland and a large nonprofit that I'm very keen on that helps young people to get outdoor experiences, to build their self-confidence and show them a different part of the world. They've asked me to be the opener for that show. It's actually a talent, kind of an exposition for young people, but they've invited me back a few times, and it's a friend that owns it, or runs it, I should say. And so I'm very thankful for that. And so I'll play a couple of these songs on stage in front of a few hundred people. And again, it ain't about money. It's about trying to share something that it will help people feel good and that they can, that resonates with them. I'll take whatever comes. Otherwise, I'm working on, I am always thinking about that next project, and I'm actually reaching out to some musicians now in the region that may be interested in doing that with.
Can you give us a hint of what the next project might be about?
There's two topics that are fighting right now for me. I have 200 songs written that have not been published.
Mm.
And the two themes is, one is an album that's all about, and this is going to sound crazy, but it's all about love. And it's a love album across all kinds of genres. That's one. And the other is get back to a little bit of a humor. You'll recall my slightly serious album, and it was just all about humor. I might do something more like that. So those are a couple things that are out there. Would you, out of the two, what would you recommend?
I'm kind of curious about that last thought you had there. The love album sounds great. There's always time and place for love. But I'm kind of curious what you come up with along that last theme.
Okay. All right. I'll share that with you. Maybe when I see you in Phoenix.
That'll work. I'll be looking forward to that, whether you share it with me or not. But always want to also give you a chance to tell the folks how they can find you, follow you, and also where they can get your music.
Thank you. So the music's available on all the major streaming platforms, along with YouTube videos. The best way to get to me, though, is paulfromportland.com. www.thedavidbyler.com. And there on my website, there will be multiple places that it can send people based on what streaming platform they use, or whether they want to see a music video, or whether they want to learn more about me or not.
Now, last thing, tell us a little bit about this Sliding Side to Side, which I understand is your next new single.
Yes, thank you. Coming out right basically in concert with this show, as people are listening to this. You folks can go out right now and listen to the song on your streaming platform of choice. But the song is, it's about reflecting back all these years and how rough things have been at times, and how many people these days feel times are rough now. There's a lot of doubt, a lot of angst out there about the status of the world, and young people in particular, for whether they matter, whether their opinions matter, what they're going to do. And Sliding Side to Side is a reminder that once upon a time, people like us, David and John, didn't wear seatbelts in cars. We didn't have seatbelts. We were basically sliding side to side as our parents drove down the highway, and we're still here. We survived. And so
for
the backing singer on that, I no other than to call, I called my old buddy. We met when we were 14 years old playing basketball in a gym, and 50-some years later, we're still pals. And I asked him if he'd sing backing vocals. He says, I've never done it before. He goes, yeah. I said, you've been singing all these years with me, just silly stuff. He came in and sang backing vocals. It's on the music video on YouTube. He did a wonderful job. And because he and I have both been through lots of valleys, peaks and valleys together. And part of my message in that song, as you'll hear, is just hang in there. Hang on. That pendulum swings back the other way. Hang in there. Keep a good positive attitude no matter how negative sometimes things feel. We're all sliding side to side from time to time. It's just a metaphor. Wear your seatbelt, as you'll see in the music video at the end.
Otherwise, if you don't wear your seatbelt, you're going to grow up to be like us, and you don't want to do that.
But that's the short of that song, and it's more of a funk groove rocker.
Right, yeah.
It would be a pop rocker. I mean, I look forward to hearing what you guys say about it. But that's about all I can tell you right now.
Well, it's a little bit of a change of pace.
Yep.
It's not nearly as frivolous as I thought it might be when I saw the title. And it is a change of pace for you, John Bon Jovial. We will thank Paul for being here with us, and definitely want you to come back in the future. Love talking with you. Love your music. And always look forward to a chance to share with you.
You're super kind. John and David, thank you for all the great stuff you do for independent music throughout the world. I'm very honored to be a small part of your world. Thank you.
And a very important part. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you.
Paul from Portland, Paul Nieriget. And here he is with the new single just released, Sliding Side to Side.
Side to side. gas mask. I still expect the bumpy ride, but totally cool sliding side to side. Happy or lucky, you may surmise. Don't call me old, you can call me wise. Through it all, you just gotta hang on tight. Learn to move on, yeah. We'll be alright. Looking back, been an interesting ride.
Go sliding side to side with our guest Paul Nurget right here on the David Bowers Awards. We thank Paul so much, and also our first guest, Mr. John Paul, better known as BKWH. What a great show, a lot of fun, a lot of great music, and we hope you enjoyed it half as much as we enjoyed bringing it to you. And thank you, John Bon Jovial. I think it's time for you to take us home.
Okay, you've done it again, and you have spent another perfectly good hour with us here at the David Bowers Awards, and we really do appreciate it. The David Bowers Awards is broadcast around the world from our studios in beautiful Kalamazoo, Michigan, and from the Valley of the Sun in Tempe, Arizona, and we're available for free on most of the major streaming services, so that's kind of cool. Be sure to join us next week for the David Bowers Awards Saturday on WRFZ FM 106.3 on your FM radio dial in Rochester, New York, rochesterfreeradio.com. And that happens every Saturday at noon Eastern. And then you can catch us on rss.com Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, and 6 p.m. UTC. So until next week, for the David Bowers and all the other crew of rejects, morons, and ne'er-do-wells here at the Radio Ranch, I am yours truly, the legendary John Bon Jovial, saying, be good to yourself, be good to your friends, wash your hands, and we'll see you next week right here on the David Bowers Awards.